I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Real quick, it was just hit me. So Mike Tomlin is out in Pittsburgh. He'll be on NBC. And he's replaced by Mike McCarthy. How many times in NFL history has a coach lost a Super Bowl to his eventual replacement? Wonder if that's happened before. Probably there's better chance of it happening than the other way around. Like Green Bay beat Pittsburgh in, I think, 2010, that season, and it was McCarthy versus Tomlin. Now McCarthy is replacing Tomlin. I wonder if that's a first. Who would know? Bulldog is not here. You're right. Bulldog would know. He is not here. Sal Capaccio is, in a manner of speaking. Sal joins me on the West Her Hotline from Cleveland. Sal, today read like a great day, was it?
Yeah, I mean, it was a great day for work for these two teams. I thought it was a great day for the Bills offense and, you know, specifically the tight ends. They were tremendous today, I thought. Josh Allen was good. I don't believe I saw him throw an interception today. I didn't see anything that, you know, it's tough to watch everything going on at the same time. And I thought the defense wasn't as good as the offense. They were fine. They were probably it was pretty even, I think, between the Bills defense and the Browns offense. But more than anything, really none of the nonsense that we've seen throughout the stuff we talked about, like, just didn't happen. That was great. Today was a good day for getting a practice in.
What did you see or hear along the lines of cooperation or coordination between the two teams and coaches?
I think that they just basically decided how they want to, you know, structure everything with, you know.
So in advance.
7-on-7. Yeah, in advance. 7-on-7, okay. 11-on-11. They don't just show up and start practicing, right? You have to have a script. You have to have a – it's the same thing as when you're at your own facility and you talk with your assistant coaches and you give them a script for the day, and this is what we're doing for the first 15 minutes. This is what we're doing for the next 5 minutes. It's the same thing. So however they did it, I don't know if they got together at a, you know, local restaurant recently or they did a Zoom call.
Yep.
But that obviously was coordinated, that everybody knew exactly when the air horn went – everybody kind of knew, okay, we're over on this field now, and we're over on that field now. We're going, you know, 7-on-7 or 2 minute drill or something like that.
One thing that hit me was watching a couple of highlights from you is that there was a pretty good loud reaction to things. And I think my understanding was that fans were not there. So this would have all been from the players.
Yes, there were no fans. There was like corporate fans. You know how you have that sometimes? They just get, yep, you know, give out VIPs. There weren't many of those, though, but the stands were there's actual, like, makeshift stands, the auxiliary stands, the bleachers. They were empty. Just some of the media sitting there. Same thing on the other side. It was the players. They were very energetic today. And that's what you get in a lot of these. A lot of times, especially when it's players who are fighting for jobs, players who aren't going to see maybe, you know, making the roster. And people know that, but they can see them. Their teammates can see them fighting to survive in the NFL, and they make a play and it's a big deal. Like, oh my God, that's great. And you're giving them love because you've been the guy going against them for the last 3 weeks. And then finally you see them make a play in a big spot for them. And that really makes you feel good.
I'll get it in now before I forget again. Training camp coverage on WGR presented by Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, and brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Finally, the Barnes Firm car crash, you've got to call the Barnes Firm, 1-800-8-MILLION. What for you was the highlight of the day?
Dalton Kincaid. He was just wide. The tight ends. I'll say the tight ends. I think Jackson Hawes had, I thought he had 2 touchdowns. Dawson Knox corrected me and said he had 3 touchdowns, Jackson Hawes, today. You know, in different periods, but the tight ends were tremendous today. And I don't know, I just got a text from my buddy John Harris, who you know you've talked to. He's the sideline guy for the Texans. And he just said, oh, my God, I'm watching what's going on in Cleveland today. Did the Browns just forget that Dalton Kincaid was on the field the whole day? They never covered him. I mean, he was wide open the whole time, it seemed like. So I just thought it was that was the best I saw today was how the Bills were able to incorporate their tight ends for big plays down the field, touchdowns. And to be honest with you, you kind of had to because you were down four receivers again today.
Yeah.
No Keon Coleman, no Khalil Shakir, no Skylar Bell. DJ Moore did play. He did take reps, but nothing down the field. It was to me, it was very intentional that they kept him underneath. They kept him on shorter routes. They didn't want him overexerting himself or anything like that. Dante Pettis was out today at another one of the lists. So the tight ends had to be big.
What's going on with Shakir?
We don't know. We don't get updates from Joe Brady other than they're progressing or you know, they're dealing with a lower body injury or something like that. We don't know anything on him. Brady does not have to give any injury updates until 2 weeks from now. When Wednesday comes around next in the week before the opener, there has to be an injury status report. There has to be an injury update, injury report each day, as you know, starting Wednesday. Right now, there are several guys injured. The guys I just mentioned at wide receiver, you still have Ty Johnson out. You still have C.J. Gardner-Johnson out. Nobody knows exactly what's wrong. You could speculate, or maybe we found out through other sources or channels. But the Bills don't have to tell you anything right now.
Understood. Shakir has been missing for how long? Or at least approximately. Can you say? Do you know?
Two days.
Two days.
He played Saturday in the preseason game.
Yep. And then something happened.
He wasn't out there on Tuesday. That's okay, right.
Yesterday I talked to Daryl Ryder in Cleveland. 92.3 The Fan.
He's here with me. We're going to do something together here in a little while after I'm done with you. So.
Well, one thing I was going to mention from that conversation was sort of like a sense of the Browns' defense. It was maybe the last question I asked him. And he basically said, we'll find out tomorrow. Like, you know, the Bills come in or went into Cleveland as, you know, what they've been in the league in the last several years, and the Browns are just trying to find their way. And I think maybe he was trying to get across that today was important to measuring. You know, this is reasonable, of course, in measuring what the Browns look like on defense, if not on offense, too.
I heard that conversation, and I expected the Bills' defense to dominate the Browns' offense, and I expected the Bills' offense to have a bit of a struggle. It was actually the reverse.
Yeah.
The Bills' offense, to me, dominated the Browns' defense today, and the Bills' defense was very even with the Browns' offense. I thought that the Browns' offense made some plays, and they also gave away some plays to the Bills. It felt to me like when things got a little bit more chaotic, like in the red zone in 2 minutes, that's when the Browns broke down. And that's what Daryl was saying. Like the operation of the offense just can get discombobulated, and that's what we saw today. When it was just, hey, they're out there, they're going at the 20-yard line, the normal play, first down, the Browns made some plays. And I thought the Bills had a few times where they could have been better. But once things started to get a little bit more crunch time, clock management, things like that, it felt like the Browns' offense came apart a little bit.
Would you say that specifically of Watson? Would you include him in that? I mean, he's the quarterback, not on every play, but right?
I thought it was more Sanders from that, but Watson as well. To me, Watson was actually better than Sanders today from what I saw, but it wasn't. I mean, there was no real difference when that happened either way. It felt like when either of them were on the field, they didn't finish the job. You know what I mean? Like, there were a couple times where it felt like they should have scored and the Bills kind of stopped them, whether it was 2 minute or red zone, because they just kind of quite couldn't finish the job.
I mentioned this recently. I watched a minute of the Browns-Bears game when maybe the Bills were in a commercial or something on Saturday. And there was this one situation where there was a long delay at Soldier Field. The Browns had the ball. There was this long delay about a ball spot. And they...
Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
Eventually did bring out the chains, and the announcers were like, wow, I didn't know they would even still do this. But it was minutes. And then I think what happened was they marked the Browns barely short. Watson ran a sneak. And then the next play, they got a delay of game or had to call a timeout. Like, these are just the kinds of things that used to drive us insane about the Bills. Like, okay, you don't have the cannon for an arm, you're not a 4-4 40 runner, but you got to know the other stuff. You got to know the logistics, the mechanics at the position. And when a veteran messes that up, not that that happened today, but I'm thinking about the preseason game, that's, I think, really glaring. You know, you don't want to see veteran quarterbacks in these situations really struggle with, like, getting plays off, for example.
No, I agree with that. They have to make decisions, and, you know, and about, they're going to have to make a decision on who's going to start. And I agree with what Daryl said yesterday, because I listened to that conversation on my drive up over here. And his premise was, look, if they're both even, you go with the young guy, because what are you doing? why would you go with Watson? If they're even, you go with Sanders. You got to let him develop. Otherwise, you get, you know, halfway through the year, all the way through the year, and you wasted development on him when he could have been playing, and, you know, for what was it worth if you're not winning, actually, and who knows if they're going to do that. But that said, he obviously, with Deshaun's contract, I just wonder if other factors are at play there. And that's, you know, he winds up, even if they're even, getting the nod there. So there's a lot that they have to decide and cipher through. And I'll tell you this, just talking with people around here, I'm just glad that we're not dealing with that. And we don't have to deal with that with Josh Allen now and knowing who he is and coming to town. Matt Bove and I just did a podcast, and we're sitting here, and I'm still under the hospitality tent actually looking over the field. And we did it here. And next to us, I think Tony Grossi, is that who covers the team? I think that was him who was over here. And he was doing a podcast with somebody. And either him or somebody else, basically the way they summed up today, we heard them, and Matt's like, yep, that's exactly right. The way they summed it up in their podcast was, today was very notable and noticeable that the Bills have Josh Allen and the Browns don't. That's what they said. And it's right.
I mean, that's two-thirds of Bills games, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a lot of their season. We had Miami for years. It's sort of as simple as that sometimes. Sal Capaccio in Cleveland for the Bills and Browns today. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off. You know, one counterpoint to the Watson debate would be the players in the room. Now, this basically, the premise would have to be that the veteran is better. And sure, the team would have obvious incentives to play the kid, but if you're starting the season and you're playing the second best guy because he's younger, then that would maybe not go over that great. So I don't know if that's really been true. Most of what I've heard from Cleveland this year is that Watson is shaky and still just not, like, not good anymore. But if you didn't have that, I think you might, a new coach especially, right? What is he trying to impart there, Todd Monken? Go with the veterans until basically you don't have any choice. Yes?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. You got to know who your team is and where you are, right, yeah, in your timeline. I just think that there's a lot to be considered whenever you have these decisions, whether it's quarterback or any other position. You know, veterans, yeah, you go with them and you ride it out and say, okay, it's our best chance to win. But at some time, I think you have to decide, you know, who you are and where you are building your team. And he's a first-year head coach. I think he has some grace. Maybe not. We've seen first-year head coaches get fired, right? So that could happen. But generally, a first-year head coach can have a little grace. Look, he's in a different situation than Brady, obviously, right? He's taking over a team that doesn't have all these great expectations. Joe Brady's taking over a team that's expected to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, they're the AFC favorites, for crying out loud. And he's replacing a guy. And the only reason he's replacing him is because the team feels that they need to take the next step, which is Super Bowl. Todd Monken's replacing a whole bunch of coaches just couldn't get off the mat. They couldn't win games. I mean, anything he gives them. So, I don't know. I would go back and forth on that philosophy on how to do it. I don't think it's an easy thing to do. Look what the Dolphins are doing right now. It's probably better for them in the long run what they're doing, and which is stripping everything down to the studs, essentially. They think it'll be better for them. But, Mike, I remember having conversations with you over the years about the Browns having all these draft picks and how, you know, they're set up. But it doesn't matter if you don't cultivate it correctly, right? It doesn't matter if you don't pick the right players, develop them correctly, and they just haven't been able to do that.
Wait, are you saying that hasn't worked out in Cleveland?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Let me ponder that before we go too much further.
No, and again, it doesn't have. It can. You could have a lot of draft picks, and you hit on the right quarterback. It's going to fix everything, right? We know that. A lot of that can just be luck. And if they, I guess, what are they calling it here? The March for Arch, right? For Arch Manning, whether that's going to work or not, I don't know. Right? That's what it's called, and that can happen. But, you know, over the years, whether it's the Jets or the Browns or anyone, you collect all these draft picks, you're set up, 3 first rounders, 2 second rounders. I went back and looked. I mean, you go to the 18 draft for the Browns, it's pretty good. You know, they have these guys, Baker Mayfield's there, and they get him, and Nick Chubb is in that draft, right? They have Myles Garrett, you know, right before that. And, you know, they're starting to build it. They have all these draft picks, and then they have a couple injuries. That's part of it. But they just didn't cultivate it and didn't develop a lot of the players. And then suddenly happens a guy leaves because of a contract situation. The quarterback falls apart a little bit, and then you're back at square one.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to relitigate. That's all fair. The quarterback is King Kong. I mean,
of course.
If it doesn't work out, he's basically stepping on the city, and the city is to ruins. And if he's Allen, it's what I think about often, Sal, with respect to other teams, and they're often the same teams always, Cleveland, the Jets, you know, the list, how the Bills were one of those teams, or they were seen as that when Allen showed up. And Allen wasn't immediate. Like, it was a year or two before, oh, my God, this guy, the Bills have him and we don't. So you would not have thought of the Bills as a team that a prospect could have just walked into and just had it made. They were the opposite of that, or closer to the opposite of that, I would say, in fairness. But then, you know, poof, you have the quarterback is a magic man, and, you know, you're kind of all set at that point. But, you know, we just know how important the position is all to whatever that equation really is. Do you think from Joe Brady today, this is my bet, nobody plays Saturday, right? The starters?
I doubt it. I think after today, Mike, they got a lot of good work in today. I doubt the starters play. He didn't commit. He just said, ideally, you get a good day in today and you don't have to do that.
And that happened, right? You're saying that happened.
I believe so. I think today was an excellent day for, again, all the things that we talked about, like the fights, the nonsense, and how do you control it and you don't, and you have Jim Leonard saying, I want to see physicality, and you're like, okay, what's going to happen here? I thought today was excellent. There was none of that. I mean, minor pushing and shoving here and there that lasted very, very quickly, and it was dispersed. And then there was just some trash talk, and that's the extent of it. Otherwise, I thought it was a great day for practice. They went a full 2 hours, too. Well, I shouldn't say. They went about an hour and an hour and 50.
You said that you were a little surprised that the Bills' defense didn't kind of dominate the Browns.
Yeah.
Why not? What was it? I saw a couple of KC Concepcion highlights that looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I talked to him, by the way, and I asked him if he thought he'd become a Bill. He said, yeah. He said if he got down to that pick, he thought the Bills were going to take him. So for whatever that's worth, I'll make sure, you know, people have that quote out there. But I sent that into the station if you guys want to hear it. And, yeah, he got loose on one for sure. I think that was Watson who threw that ball. And then I think there was another one I didn't see, but yeah, he had a couple of highlights and he's a nice player for them. And the reason why I just felt that the Bills weren't, I'm gonna say aggressive enough. Maybe they were aggressive a couple times that they just weren't close enough to make a play on a receiver or on a ball. Now there were a couple of times that Jordan Hancock had an interception towards the end. Max Harrison made a great play in the end zone to stop a touchdown during a 2-minute drill. Like they had their moments, no doubt. Greg Rousseau had a sack, and that whole 2-minute sequence I was talking about earlier where they couldn't finish the deal, the Browns, a lot of that stuff was happening. But at the end of the day, I thought the Browns made, you know, a few more plays than I would like to see them make against the Bills' defense.
I like that you talked to Concepcion. Did you talk about Rochester with him?
A little bit. Not a ton. I just asked him about being from Rochester, and, you know, he was talking about how the Bills would have been his hometown team, obviously, but we didn't get too much into it. I only had him for a second, but he definitely said that he thought that he might be going to Buffalo.
Also, would you agree with that, or would you know? I'm not sure you would know, but that was two picks before the Bills were up in that draft, and they end up trading down with Houston and then trading out of the first round ultimately. Do you think they would have done this had the Browns not taken him?
Oh, boy. It feels like they wouldn't have. It feels like they kind of didn't want to do that in this draft. They went out and they got DJ Moore.
Yeah. Defense.
You know, and I don't – because that was this year, right? This is this draft we're talking about. This draft. Jeez, man, it runs together. I feel like they wouldn't have used their top, you know, trade asset and their top draft pick on a wide receiver. Like, I know that he would have been kind of a guy they considered, and you never know. Maybe he just was highest rated on the board. They would have done that. I just never got the sense after trading for DJ Moore they would have done that.
I agree. And it was a little bit early, as I remember it, with Concepcion going 24. I mean, three receivers had already gone. And then you got to Omar Cooper, who was talked about some, and some other guys. So it was a little bit – it was seen, I think, mostly as being a little bit early. But very exciting-sounding player. Like, I don't know if the Browns –
yeah.
That'll be the trick, of course. I mean, at least for this year, is if the Browns can sort of hold up and pay off a receiver like this. I mean, maybe it's a little bit like Watkins here, where I don't know. But the guy seems like, it sounds like he's good enough.
Yeah, I think he sounds to me like he's fitting in from everybody I've heard here. He's doing a really nice job. And he made a couple plays today. So, you know, good on him. And, you know, we'll see where it goes with him. But I thought overall the Bills' defense, like I said, made some plays, had some plays against where I thought the offense clearly won the day against the Browns' defense.
I know what you said about Shakir, and maybe this is essentially asking you the same question, but Ed Oliver, anything?
No, he wasn't even – we didn't see him today, Mike. You know, Shakir we saw. C.J. Gardner-Johnson we saw. Skylar Bell actually came out with a helmet on and did some work with an athletic trainer on the side. Did not see Ed Oliver at all today. I do not know if he made the trip or not.
Okay. Do you have, maybe for fans who could be wondering this, or even myself, you know, talking about Concepcion, that's a first-round pick in Cleveland. That'd be a story. That'd be a player we'd talk about every day if we were here. How about, I mean, Elam Czar has been one name you've talked about a lot. Rookies or maybe lesser-known Bills players that are sort of popping for you? A couple?
Well, I think Kenai Walker, you know, a guy that you saw make that interception last week, he's one for sure.
All right.
You know, and he's starting to, you know, gain some traction as a real option to make the team. He's an undrafted free agent. So, you know, he looks the part. He's long. He's athletic. I think that's somebody that they really like having. Trying to think who else could. Oh, you know, I was standing in the end zone today. It was great, Mike. Like, we could be right on the field. And the video you saw, like, we got to film everything today. And I didn't get video of this, but Ian Wheeler, the running back, they got this kid from the UFL, you know, the United League, yep, or XFL, I guess, whatever it was. You know, there's so many of these now. And he caught a pass, and he just trucked a guy. I mean, he was physical, and he just ran him over. And doing the pod with Matt a little while ago, Matt believes he has jumped Frank Gore Jr. in the pecking order. And the reason why this is significant is we don't know about Ty Johnson's injury right now. Mm-hmm. And if they have to think about a third running back and keeping somebody on the ready, I think Ian Wheeler right now is starting to get into that conversation.
Ian Wheeler, I have to look it up myself, the most valuable player of the United Bowl this
year.
Yes,
exactly.
Playing for, I think, maybe that's Louisville. So there's a guy to know. Yeah, Ty Johnson's been out for almost all of it, right? Camp?
No, he got hurt. No, he got hurt in the open practice.
Okay. So
he went down in the red and blue scrimmage, the red and blue game, in Buffalo, and then he missed. So it's been a little over a week.
Right. 2 weeks. It'll be 2 weeks Saturday.
2 weeks.
Right?
Sorry. 2 weeks. Yeah.
Okay. Tomorrow, there's nothing for you to cover?
Nothing tomorrow to cover. And then Saturday will be the game at 1 p.m. at the stadium.
Perfect opportunity for a Buffalo Cleveland media fantasy league draft, don't you think? I mean, you don't have to stop at one.
Yeah, I don't think that'll be happening, but I'll still be out here in Cleveland.
All right. Let me know if you need help putting that together.
All right, you got it.
Thank you, Sal.
All right, you got it, man. Thanks.
Sal Capaccio on the Wesser Hotline from Cleveland. Bills and Browns out there today. His appearance is on WGR, brought to you by Outlet Liquor, the place to buy a case. Outlet Liquor, what's your outlet? I mean, I'll put it the same way. Joe Brady got away with it last week with his starters, and it wasn't super smooth, the hits you're seeing Allen take, and then DJ Moore coming up a little bit lame at one point, but no problem. With this today, it just seems like that's enough. You know, you have what everybody talked about in a positive way, this more intense physical matchup between the Bills and an actual opponent. You know, Saturday, probably take it easy. That's when, okay, so Ian Wheeler, for one, right? That's when a guy like that can become, which we kind of get almost every year around here, somebody, it's usually a running back or a wide receiver, somebody that the fans watch and go, hey, this, I mean, it was the rugby player the one time, right, who broke the long run in the preseason game, maybe against the Colts. There's always seems to be somebody. And maybe this is it. And it could be a wide receiver, too, because they have so many injuries at that position. But without Josh Allen, I don't know how much really of a chance there is to see that. I mean, probably I think you would get, I don't know this, but with the Browns having what sounds like a quarterback competition, maybe one or both of those guys would play against the Bills to try to, you know, get that much closer. The last time the Bills had – what they called a quarterback competition. That's back with Peterman and Allen and who was it? A.J. McCarron maybe was the third guy. Like, they shared time in the preseason, and they were kind of – one of them was kind of always out there, it seemed at least, or at least to start. So would the Browns just bail on the whole thing and neither guy plays against the Bills? Maybe not. But I would be really stunned if the Bills did likewise and their starters saw the field at all. They already have – listen to the injury list. I mean, they already have, what, more than 10 names on it. You don't want to get too carried away. 803-0550 to join me, talking about not so much what happens on Saturday, but what happens in the rest of 2026 with them. Here for fantasy stuff, too. We've talked a little bit about league punishments for last place. I had Brad with me, and I was with Brad a couple of times earlier this week, talking about his auction thing coming up in on Saturday. That sounds like a great time. Always ready to go on that. This is Mike Shope, Bulldog, back on Monday. You're listening to WGR.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Just trying to let the game come to me as much as possible and not trying to force too many things to happen. I don't want to be running over linebackers either, so that doesn't happen too often. Sometimes, again, the game calls for something like that to happen, and I'm just trying to be the best teammate that I can be, the best quarterback that I can be, and sometimes that's what you're called to do, but definitely don't want to make a living of doing those things and just trying to, again, like I said, let the game come to you.
Josh Allen sharing the field today with Deshaun Watson. That takes you back to Allen's first playoff appearance. And it's Watson and the Texans that take out the Bills in overtime, right? That game? Yeah. Duke Johnson. There was a Duke Johnson play for Houston in that game, wasn't there? There was Tywan Jones and there was Duke Johnson, both of whom graced us with their respective presence here in future years. Or maybe Tywan Jones had already been here. I think that's right by the time of that playoff game. What have we got? Bills playoff history. So let's go by quarterback. I'm going to have to call this up. I'm not the man I used to be at this. But Watson is their first, Sean McDermott, Josh Allen, their first playoff opponent in 2019. They lose there. Let me just get this going. I know there are some fun names on this list. I know Mason Rudolph. Andrew's always whining about Mason Rudolph, getting him off the Steelers, and he's still on the Steelers. So we've got Watson in 19, and then 2020 Colts is going to be Rivers. He comes back, but that's Rivers. The next week's Lamar Jackson. That's the Taron Johnson play. And then Mahomes. 21, you've got Mac Jones. So the Bills have wins here over Phillip Rivers. It's kind of funny. Lamar Jackson, that's good. Mac Jones, lose to Mahomes. Then it's Skylar Thompson for Miami in the 22 wild card in a close game. But the Bills dominated in the stats, just turnovers. Then Burrow. They lose to Burrow. 23, that's Mason Rudolph for Pittsburgh, the playoff game that got moved because of weather. That's Mason Rudolph, confirmed. Then they lose to Mahomes. Okay, 24 is Bo Nix. Then Jackson again, the two-point conversion fail at the end for Baltimore, then Mahomes. And now Trevor Lawrence, that's a good name on your bedpost, so to speak, is Lawrence. You got Lawrence, you got Jackson on here twice, you've got Nix. A young Knicks. It's not all just Mason Rudolph's and Skylar Thompson's. Just texting with Jeremy about Arsenal tomorrow, the first game of the Premier League season. Arsenal and Coventry City. Jeremy says he can't wait. He says everybody is expecting them to repeat. All right, so I guess I expect them to repeat now. I'm going to root against it. I've never seen my Everton come close to even like Europe, as they say, the top four or five spots. I mean, for a while last year, they might have been a little bit close, but really, we go through these seasons. They're just kind of there. They built a new stadium. There's no playoffs. It's fine. But there's really not. It's really just about beating Liverpool for Everton for me, because that's their big in-town rival. And that's Joe. Love to beat Joe. Do they have, Jeremy would know, he's the founder of the preseason pledge. Do they have that in soccer? Did he have to take a preseason pledge and just sort of take a blind eye to everything Arsenal did here in their friendlies leading up to tomorrow? I wonder. They had some, you guys might know what this is, the shield. What did I watch last week for a minute against Man City?
I think it's the community shield.
What do they get? A shield?
I think literally, yeah, I think it's kind of like the Bundesliga, because that their trophy is literally that. It's just, it's either, you can call it a plate or a big shield. I think it's the same thing.
It's just one game?
Yeah, it's just one game. It's the FA Cup winner and the Premier League winner.
And they get an advantage in the next physical challenge. That also, by the way, for winning this. They should get to use one goal whenever they want, at least one goal. Whenever they want to use it during the season, they get to sort of just add a goal to their total by virtue of winning that that shield. The preseason pledge. It's a good one. And we're going to want it on Saturday, especially if anything goes bad. We might need it as a shield, the preseason pledge. If they do really well, then you're going to get, right or wrong, you're going to get, hey guys, that Ian Wheeler should be on the roster. And I'm not saying I won't agree with you. I love this for a running back. It really is sort of fantasy adjacent. When a running back, undrafted free agent, make him as obscure as you want. Ian Wheeler, Sal just brought him up, United Football League, played at Howard University, not drafted, looks good, trucked a guy. We get to Saturday, he plays, I mean, at least half the game, right? We're not going to need James Cook, we don't have Ty Johnson, Ian Wheeler, Frank Gore. Sal said Ian Wheeler is ahead of Frank Gore, so maybe he's your starter on Saturday. He pops one, bam, 64-yard touchdown, Ian Wheeler, 7-0, okay. I love this because I will just never be able, I will never be dragged away from the, to me, logical theory that almost any running back could do it. Not literally any running back, but that there's really just not that much of a gap between, maybe not like Christian McCaffrey in his prime. I mean, last year was pretty close to his prime. Not the Hall of Fame level. But, you know, most guys after that. James Cook has moved up these charts. He has moved up from sub-back to NFL. I mean, they'll never take that rushing title away from him. So we're not talking Hall of Fame yet or anything, but he's trending the right way. He's on a good career path. They lose James Cook. What happens? Well, you have Ian Wheeler. Or Ray Davis, of course, not to ignore him. But I just kind of always tend to think that that can work. If you lost, and this is what is fantasy adjacent about it, of course, Allen, but if you lost an elite receiver, whoever led the Jackson Smith and Jigba, whoever led the NFL in receiving yards last year, it would be JSN, I'm pretty sure, you're doomed. They're not taking a receiver out of the United Football League and putting him on the field in place of JSN and getting anything close to the same. I think running back, that can and does happen. And I think at wide receiver, it's next to impossible. And at quarterback, it's at least as next to impossible as it is as receiver. The preseason pledge, is there a joint practice pledge where you're not allowed to put stock in anything that happened today? Well, that's Ian Wheeler, apparently, that run that Sal mentioned. I'll admit to one thing. Today adds to it. Josh Allen, we know there's no debate about anything. James Cook, we know. He's obviously their running back. He does come off the field more than some guys, but he's done great. No questions asked. James Cook. DJ Moore. Well, we're kind of watching to see what and listening to what that sounds like with DJ Moore. We had one peek at him at the preseason game against Carolina, and there were highlights. I mean, he had, 3 for 61? I mean, he had a couple of big plays. for the Bills. So that looked good, but I'm not leaving my spot on DJ Moore, which is like, this is fine. He's likely even to help the offense. He gives them what they don't have. But can he be amazing? I don't know. I don't expect him to be amazing. So I'm really not. Some of my friends are. I mean, the fantasy people, I've mentioned this week a couple of times, were like, huh, that looked good. Maybe he's not washed. Maybe, you know, there's a connection with Allen and that can really be something. I think some of these guys have wanted to push DJ Moore up a little bit from the game on Saturday. I'm sort of mostly the same. The preseason pledge. Are there exceptions? The one I'm sort of feeling a little bit like I'm weak, and it's not because I've been betting against the guy or anything like that, but I'm starting to feel the Kincaid thing a little bit. And not for the first time today did Sal start the conversation about what he saw with Dalton Kincaid. What did you like? Dalton Kincaid, the tight ends, all these touchdowns. I mean, that's starting to add up. It's starting to pile up, these Kincaid reports. And really, you will always have the injury history point. You can't really do anything with it. It's not a prediction that he'll get hurt or that he won't. You can't really do anything with it. But it's part of his story. But his being on the field and healthy and putting up highlights, even there was a day early in camp. What is early in camp? The camp was so short. The whole thing was early. All camp was early in camp. There was a day where he got injured a little bit. And Twitter was right away to, leg injury. Then Kincaid went and said he just got hit in a tough spot and, you know, no biggie. And either that very day or the next day, there was Sal again with, like, Dalton Kincaid. So that pledge, I don't know if it's Jeremy's call, if that applies to joint practices and training camp, or is it just games? I guess I'll have to ask him, but I'm softening. I don't even like saying that because I was never like out on Kincaid. I just felt that there wasn't really room for him to be a big producer, and then he kind of looked like he was about to be one, and then he get hurt. A little bit of it is what I talked about a couple hours ago with Shakir being out. There's more of a chance if that lasts. I'm not sure. No one knows. But if that were to happen, that would open up for Brady more opportunities for Kincaid and for everyone else, by the way. But I think he would be the one if they were to have to play without Shakir or even choose to. Right? I know that's crazy, right? But if that were to happen, Kincaid is the guy where I'd want to like bump him way up. And whether or not it's Shakir related, you're hearing a lot of good things from him. We'll see about Saturday. I'm guessing nobody plays except Ian Wheeler. He'll be the only guy out there. But, you know, it's kind of how it's felt going back to last week. Then we'll get to Cleveland, have the joint practice, and then we'll back off a little bit. Mike Shopier, Bulldog, is off until Monday. Tomorrow, Sam Paniatovic, Ian Harditz will join. And we'll see if Sal wants to, but I know it's not a day where there's going to be anything new from the Bills. At least we expect that. Thanks for listening. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.